Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Last Sabbath, you will recall that we meditated upon the great shepherd of the everlasting covenant. And we spent some time in biblical research as to what the everlasting covenant was and how Jesus, the shepherd, was scripturally connected. According to scripture, he was termed as the shepherd of the everlasting covenant. And we were touched with the precious qualities of this shepherd who cares for his flock, because we are his sheep and we have all gone astray, have turned everyone to our own way, and we saw how easy that is done. But as our wonderful shepherd, he reaches out for the sheep that's gone astray, and he does not treat it in a harsh manner because it has gone astray. He takes it into his bosom and he comforts it and carries it home. And so I would like to continue our meditation upon this shepherd of the flock. As we were reading in our scripture reading, that he will behave toward us like a shepherd dealing with those who have been bruised and scattered. That was what we were reading there in Isaiah chapter 40, where we were reading in verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. The picture of the flock that has gone into disarray and has been scattered is clearly dealt with in the book of Ezekiel, which we quoted a lot from in our last sermon. We turn there to Ezekiel chapter 34. That because the sheep have been scattered across the hills, he has to step in as a faithful shepherd to bring them all together. So it is here in Ezekiel chapter 34, reading there verses 11 to 16. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through to 13. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. It goes to verse 16, and I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. This is material that we shared last week. We saw here that because God's people have been misguided by false shepherds, Jesus himself steps in, and as we were just reading, he will deal with the fat and the strong with judgment, but he will take care of the flock that was severely treated. Today, I want to go into the deep meditation of the shepherd according to chapter 34 of Ezekiel, verse 22 to 24. This is where we want to spend our time, specifically this hour. That's verses 22 to 24. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I the Lord will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I the Lord have spoken it. Now, don't those last words mean something powerful? God, the majesty of the universe, has spoken. He cannot lie. He changes not. And what he has declared to us here is an assurance for every bruised and wounded sheep, that where the shepherds have failed the people, Jesus, the Son of David, is set up as one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Under the false shepherds, there has been headbutting. The strong members of the flock were not correctly controlled by the true shepherd, by the shepherds, and they were headbutting the weaker ones. Don't you see that in today's circumstances? If we come there to verse 4 of Ezekiel 34, the disease, talking about the false shepherds there. Verse 2 says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Verse 4, the diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Isn't that a sad picture that is drawn here, that when the sheep have gone and been mistreated by their fellow sheep, instead of dealing with the sheep like a gentle shepherd, they were, with cruelty, with force, they were ruled. And so the poor sheep were bewildered. Verse 21, we read it there. He says, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. When the shepherds are false, the sheep become nasty to one another. And they headbutt, and they push and shove. And so the sheep are scattered abroad, become a prey. But he says, I will save these weak ones. I've gone out to search for them because they have been scattered. And so it is that this is spiritually speaking, of course. This is where the sheep have become scattered because they didn't know what was truth and what was error anymore. And it is not out of reality that we find ourselves today with people's minds being in a shattered state as to what is truth and where can I find comfort. Because of sin, I have fallen, I have made mistakes, and I have no comfort that can really help me through my perplexed circumstances. So, for all who feel mistreated in this world and in the church, for all who feel spiritually lean, skinny, sick, destitute, who feel uncertain, who hunger for the true love, for true sympathy, even though they are worthy of having failed and worthy of rebuke, but sympathy, needing sympathy badly because they feel sorrowful for the things they have committed. For all these people, there is someone who will supply our want. And Jesus, as is spoken here in Ezekiel, turns our attention to this in John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10, verses 11, 14, and 27. John chapter 10. Here is what Jesus is reiterating from the Old Testament. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There he is, the true one shepherd, the son of David. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, And I know my sheep and am known of mine. The sheep that have been scattered, when they hear the true shepherd, they hear the true voice and they come running. They're sick. They've been battered. They have felt lean, destitute, uncertain. When you see sheep in this uncertainty, chased by dogs, as we see in today's shepherding, there's no shepherding. The poor sheep are fenced in, and when they get shifted from one paddock to another, the dogs chase them, and they are terribly, terribly upset. That's the condition of the church today. But the shepherd, the true shepherd, when they hear his voice, that's where they run to. My sheep I know, and I am known of mine. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so it is indeed, that as they follow him, the promise of the true shepherd is expressed in our scripture reading, Isaiah chapter 40. Let's read it once again in the light of what we have just been connecting in the scriptures. Isaiah 40 verse 11 we read, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. They have been bruised. They have been headbutted. They have been shouldered, pushed away. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Here is the precious promise. But we want to understand this shepherd so that we can appreciate our burdened soul, how it is comforted by this shepherd. First thing is, who are his flock that he knows and they know him? Who are they? Let's explore that from his word again. Who are his flock? Who are they? And there we turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10. There we see it very vividly displayed, because those churches that claim to be the flock, that claim to be the shepherds over the flock, they existed in the time of Christ, and he came, he the shepherd, came to his own, verse 11. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Can you discern in this scripture who are the true sheep and who is the true flock? He came unto his own, which were reportedly his flock, but his own received him not. So are they the flock? No, they didn't recognize his voice. My sheep know my voice, but they received him not. So were they his sheep? Obviously not. They were not his true shepherds. That's what he was saying in Ezekiel. So who is his true sheep? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, those who were born of the word of Jesus Christ, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These are his sheep. And while they may have gone astray, while they may have been lost, They cried and they bleated, and Jesus came to search for them. These are the ones who will recognize his voice. And I love the way that the Spirit of Prophecy puts it in the book, that I may know him. That I may know him. Reading there from page 52, paragraph 2. Here, the Word of God, the Word of Jesus, is speaking to us. Let us recognize his voice. Jesus says, I know my sheep. Let us consider this statement. We are known by God before we receive him. I know my sheep. How do souls become Christ's sheep? By choosing to receive him. That's exactly what we read, isn't it? To them that received him, to them he came as a shepherd. Those who choose to receive him. But Christ had first chosen them. He knew everyone who would respond to his drawing. God has a foreknowledge. He knows who are going to choose to receive him. So he chose them before they even existed. And they were the ones that he chose to be his flock. He knew everyone who would respond to his drawing, and he knew everyone who would be inclined to receive him, but who, through popular opposing influences, would turn from him. Interesting. How were they scattered? Those he knew that would respond to him, how were they scattered? Because of the opposing influences of these false shepherds, of these false preachers, of these false apostles and false prophets. They, under these opposing influences, would turn from him. Do you know a person who did that? Who, under the opposing ministries of Christ's day, turned from him, but he found him again? It was the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross wanted to follow Jesus, but because he was being opposed by the leaders, he lost his way by the leaders, and he became a thief. And now, as he sees Jesus hanging on the cross, the sheep recognizes his shepherd. And he says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Isn't that a beautiful story? My sheep will know my voice. They were turned away by the popular opposing influences. Those who heard the voice and did behold Jesus as the Lamb of God, believed in him and became his property from their own choice. And the thief on the cross made his choice at the last moment because he was a sheep. So he became his property from their own choice, but their choosing of Christ was in response to his drawing. The love of Jesus was expressed to us before we loved him. What a meditation. These are the true sheep. The ones that choose. But they choose because they were drawn. And Jesus knew them. And now comes a very important little point that I just read here. Those who heard the voice and did behold Jesus as the Lamb of God. That's what I read. Why is it that he knows them so well? That they can obey him so well? Why? Let's read it there in the words of John the Baptist, John 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Why does the shepherd know his sheep so well? And why can they know him and choose him? Why? Because the shepherd became a lamb. He himself came into the flock as a lamb, a sheep as he grew older. And how was he treated? As a lamb by the shepherds. Can you see the picture? The false shepherds treated him like they treated the other sheep. And he was buffeted. He was ruled by force. Does he know the experience of the sheep? And the lambs. And can they recognize that he is a true shepherd? Because he knows them by his experience. And they know him because his experience is their experience. This lamb, the Lamb of God, became the shepherd. Ponder what he knows about his mistreated sheep. What does he know? There's much written, and I'm just going to read a few scriptures that you can identify with the shepherd because he identified with you, the lamb, as a lamb. Isaiah 59. Verses 14 to 16. Isaiah 59, verses 14 to 16. And this is the description of his experience when he came to this planet. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Remember what we read there, that those will no longer be a prey, when we read that in Ezekiel. They had made themselves a prey, and the Lord saw it. And it displeased him that there was no judgment. The Lord saw it. Jesus saw it. He came here and experienced it. Verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Here is a direct reference to Jesus. Here on earth, where there was no man that was supporting him. They all left him and fled because of the false teachings of the shepherds. So they all fled and left him alone. There was no man, and I wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. This is a direct reference of Jesus in his experience as a lamb. All this is written in a metaphorical manner. It's like a parable, but it brings home the important lesson that Jesus can be both a sheep, a lamb, and a shepherd. He can be both a sin offering and the priest, remember? He was the sin offering, the lamb that was slain, and he became a priest. This is simply what God is trying to communicate to us through the beauty of his word, if we will be under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to understand what he is saying. Jesus experienced the mistreatment of all the sheep that want to make the choice to be his sheep. Those who really desire to withdraw from bewildering corruption, as it says there, judgment is turned away backwards. Bewildering confusion. Aren't you feeling it? You go here, you run there, and you try and find the word here and there, and then you come under the shepherd's caring flock, and you go, why am I going everywhere else? This is what I want. And then you get floundered again because you get confused by the false teachings. That's what happened to the poor thief on the cross. He got confused. He recognized the shepherd's voice, but he got confused. How many are doing this today? Confused, as our Sabbath school lesson taught. So, bewildered with the corruptions and the wrongs in their world. What hope have they? I can't find my way. I'm like a bleating sheep or caught in the thicket like a little lamb that had been tripped over the edge of the precipice and caught in the thicket. Do you know the experience? This is what I'm sharing here. Do we know the experience of a bewildered sheep? Investigate your own experience. And I have to stand here and tell you that is exactly how my experience has been through the years. Growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, becoming confused with Des Ford's messages, becoming confused by the new doctrines that were coming into the church that were already existing before I was even born. And trying to find my way through the morass. And nearly giving up along the way. And in fact, falling away from the perfect things that I wanted to follow. Yes, I was misguided too. And then how the Lord picked me up through the spirit of prophecy and showed me through his voice where the truth was. And I've shared this with all the people that know me. What I have shared has been my experience. And if people who are not his sheep and the true shepherds hear what I have to share, they buffet me. They tell me how wrong I am. And I get confused again for a moment. Lord, oh, how can I find my way through this? I went through it severely. That was when the Lord sent a magpie. Praise the Lord, don't give up. Keep on following me. And so I did. So I'm here today. I was a sheep floundering. Were you? Earnestly desiring to do right, to struggle against the odds. Does he know it? Does Jesus know it? Let's read it there. Whether he knows my experience or not. Let's go to Psalm 69. This is the Lamb. This is the true meaning of the lamb that was slain. It was the lamb that went through my experience. And the true meaning of the lamb slain for us becomes vivid to our mind's eye as we realize that he went through it and knows his sheep. Psalm 69, verses 1 to 4, here is his experience. Save me, O God, for the waters that come in unto my soul. You know what it's like when a flood overwhelms you? You don't know where you are anymore. You stumble around. I've had that experience where I came down a slippery dip into the water and then I stumbled and tumbled and tumbled and I didn't know where up and down was. Here it is. The waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored it which I took not away. Can you see his experience? And can you see your own? Verse 8, I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Have you experienced that? As a child that wants to follow God. A sheep. Is this your experience? Here it is. Verse 20 and 21, just to know that this is your shepherd that is speaking here. Reproach, verse 20, hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Aha. You are experiencing as you read this. If you read it and apply it in reality, what your own experience is, if you are a lamb of God, if you are a sheep that wants to follow God, here is your experience. Is that right? Jesus knows his sheep by experience. Let's come also to Psalm 22. And measure up again. Am I a sheep that is suffered like this? Because I wanted to follow God. I wanted to do his will, but even my own relatives gave me a hard time. Even my father gave me a hard time if I wanted to follow the right way. Here it is, Psalm 22, verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look up and stare upon me. This is the one who says in verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. Have you ever said that? You felt separated from God? Your shepherd knows it. I know my sheep. And am known of mine. And there we read it from that I may know him. Page 53. There reading from paragraph 2 and 3. Here it is, spelt right out, just as I played it out in front of you in God's word. We read it in the testimony of Jesus. A true shepherd knows and pities and helps the sheep that most need his help. Those that are bruised and lame and feeble, He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Why? Far more intimately than the patriarch Jacob knew the weak, the suffering, and the lame among his sheep, does the chief shepherd know his flock. He knows what no one else knows. He has himself weighed every burden. No one knows the weight like himself, for he has borne our griefs and carried all our sorrows. It was this that made him a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's our true shepherd, because he was a sheep, a lamb, mistreated, suffering, wanting to follow God, do his will, and buffeted for doing so. From a child up, can you just imagine the experience? And I thank God that he knows my experience. So, when you really decide to make the break, it's so hard, isn't it? When you really decide that you're going to follow Jesus against all the odds, when you've been in a church that has left you high and dry, but you feel attached to that church, it's so hard, isn't it, to leave it. You feel all alone, really ready to collapse, as Jesus described it there. No internal strength left anymore. Hear your shepherd. Hear him as we were reading it there, and now let us read it, that he knows what nobody else knows. Desire of Ages, page 483. Desire of Ages, page 483, there in paragraph 1. Through all our trials, we have a never-failing helper. He was alone, remember? There was nobody there with him. We feel alone, he says. He does not leave us alone to struggle with temptation, to battle with evil, and be finally crushed with burdens and sorrow. Are you a sheep? Do you want to be like this, or do you want to come out successful at the end? Here it is. He does not leave you alone to be finally crushed with burdens and sorrow. Though now he is hidden from mortal sight, the ear of faith can hear his voice saying, "Fear not, I am with you." You're not alone. Never alone. "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." You see, I was a dead lamb. I was a lamb slain. And now I am alive again, and I'm your shepherd. I'm alive forevermore. I have endured your sorrows, experienced your struggles, encountered your temptations. I know what nobody else knows. I know your tears. I also have wept. The griefs that lie too deep to be breathed into any human ear, I know. Think not that you are desolate and forsaken. Don't think it. Though your pain touch no responsive chord in any heart on earth, look unto me and live. The mountains will depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Remember the shepherd of the everlasting covenant. You know, what I've read to you now, what I'm sharing with you, is the source of keeping my head up out of the flooding waters around me. How Satan would like to destroy me. You may not know as much as Jesus knows about me. And I want to share with you this wonderful hope that if you have any responsive chord within your heart, here today, as you hear this message, respond. Don't shove it off to another time. Let the beauty of God's comfort make the change within Jesus, your personal Savior, your Shepherd. Study his life and realize he understands you because he's gone through your experience. Look at his internal struggles with a little bit longer here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. Here it is. Here it is, thou shepherd who knows us because he's been a lamb like you and me. Hebrews 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, yes, when he was the lamb, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. With tears? I know what tears, he says. I know your tears, and he knows everybody else's as well because he went through the lot. With strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Is that our story? Do you have to suffer a lot to learn? He suffered it. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He was a lamb that was being made perfect. So that when he came as a lamb to the slaughter, he was perfect. He was sinless. There never dwelt sin in him. He only received your and mine. And it became a literal experience as though he had sinned, but he never did. Hebrews 12, verse 2 to 4. Hebrews 12, verses 2 to 4. This is what we're to be doing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured. Now we see what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us here. Consider him. How much time do we spend considering him? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I have. And if you will follow me, you will experience my righteousness. Will we not just hear this divine service? Oh, how frequently we hear and we take it not with us in reality. We can argue the doctrines, remember, so could the foolish virgins. But we want to come away from this message with an assurance that will carry me through, and I will be the sheep that follows that shepherd alone. So when I need cosseting, when I need succor like a lamb, pressing close to the bosom of the shepherd, he's there in reality. That I may know him, page 53. That I may know him, page 53, paragraph 4-6. Here it is. Now, really let these words, remember this is the testimony of Jesus, the shepherd's voice. He's speaking to our heart here. If there is not another soul in the universe that regards you, the Lord God of Israel is looking upon you with thoughts of compassion, tenderness, and sympathy. He sees you with your strong impulses when faint-hearted and discouraged. You have the deepest, the richest, the most refreshing sympathy in the bosom of the great shepherd. We have not an high priest who cannot sympathize with us, but one who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Not only has every provision been made that when tried and tempted, you should find help and strength and grace. Every provision was made because he went through it all. But also that your influence upon other minds should be fragrant. You're not going to be one of those head-butting, shoulder-buffeting sheep. You will have compassion on them because you are his true sheep. Your influence upon other minds will be fragrant. Not only does Christ know every soul and the temptations and trials of that soul, but he knows all the circumstances that irritate and chafe the spirit. He doesn't just know our suffering, but he knows the things that chafe us, the circumstances that irritate. He knows it all. Your great danger is in being self-sufficient. This will not do for a Christian. Christ will give you his patience, if you ask for it. God's abounding love and presence will give you the power of self-control as you take hold of this, as you go through your temptations. And you know, as a lamb, as a sheep, you've been misguided, like the thief on the cross, as bad as that may be, as bad as becoming a thief, but he was a sheep. Isn't it profound? So whatever you feel that you've done too badly, you've really gone over the edge now, I'm lost. Don't go there. The thief on the cross wasn't lost. He was a sheep. If he would respond to the shepherd hanging or the lamb that was hanging there, he would be saved, and he was. So here it is. He will mold and fashion your mind and character. He will direct your aims and purposes and capabilities in a channel that will give you moral and spiritual power, which you will not have to leave here in this world, but can carry with you and retain through eternal ages. Isn't that beautiful? True succor, true help, close to the bosom of our shepherd. You and I may be his sheep and understand other sheep. You will understand why the other sheep are floundering around, and you will have compassion on them. In his church, in his church, you will be cared for by him. because his church are the sheep that have him very close. There it is in paragraph 3 of That I May Know Him. It says, far more intimately. Sorry, this is page 52. Far more, not far more intimately, here it is, paragraph 3 of page 52. To Jesus, the whole human family is entrusted as the flocks of sheep are entrusted to a shepherd. These sheep and lambs are to be tended with pastoral care. They will be guarded by the faithful chief shepherd. Now follow carefully. This is God's church now, God's flock. The human family is entrusted as the flock of sheep are entrusted to a shepherd. The sheep and lambs are to be tended with pastoral care. They will be guarded by the faithful chief shepherd under the care of faithful under shepherds. And if they will obey the voice of the chief shepherd, they will not be left to be devoured by wolves. Here is the description of God's true fold. Under shepherds who are under the chief shepherd, who will feed the flock according to the chief shepherd, and they will be guarded by the chief shepherd under the care of faithful under shepherds, as rare as they are today. If you will heed the shepherd's voice, as we have described it in this research, in, again, That I May Know Him, paragraph 4 on page 52, it says this. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The shepherd of Israel, the shepherd of Israel does not drive his flock, but he leads them. You see, this is someone that you're going to have to follow. You're not going to get pushed. And if the under-shepherds are being corrected by the chief shepherd, they will not push you. They will not discipline you in a harsh manner. They will lead on and you will need to follow. That's what Apostle Paul says. Follow me as I follow Christ. It's up to the individuals in the church whether they will recognize the under shepherds and follow them. So I read it on. The shepherd of Israel does not drive his flock, but he leads them. His attitude is wholly one of invitation. Have you felt that? You've been invited? You know, oh, this is it. I know this is it. But you're not being pushed to become part of it. It's your choice. If we are indeed the sons and daughters of God, we not only hear, but recognize the voice above all others. Recognize the voice above all others. We appreciate the words of Christ. We distinguish the truth as it is in Jesus from all error, and the truth refreshes the soul and fills it with gladness. The shepherd, who himself is a lamb, will successfully satisfy all true sheep. And if you want to turn to Revelation 7, verse 16 and 17, here is that beautiful illustration of a pastoral symbol. That's Revelation chapter 7, reading verses 16 and 17. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them or any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne, what was that? He's still there. The Lamb as a lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And many people read this to mean when Jesus comes. But the Lamb is there to do it now. Let us respond. Let us be a sheep that is feeling and hearing the shepherd's voice, that may have been misguided, that may even be doing things right now that are consciously wrong, I know it is, but I can hear the shepherd's call. And I'm going to let it all go for him. May God be with us as we continue to take the opportunities that are ours at this moment. Amen.